The S&P futures are sitting at 7,620 this morning, up about 0.4%, which suggests markets aren't in panic mode despite the Gulf crisis. That's interesting in itself. Either investors are concluding this stays contained, or they're betting that oil market disruptions will be manageable. Goldman Sachs published an analysis this week arguing that AI investment and adoption could add 50 basis points, that's half a percentage point, to U.S. inflation over the coming years. That's a striking forecast, and it runs somewhat counter to the narrative that AI will primarily be deflationary through productivity gains.
Goldman's reasoning is worth understanding. The inflationary pressure they're identifying comes from two sources: the massive capital spending required to build AI infrastructure, data centers, power grid upgrades, chip manufacturing, drives up costs in construction, energy, and specialized labor. And AI-driven demand stimulation, particularly if AI tools make it significantly easier for people to find and purchase goods, could boost consumption faster than supply chains can respond. Half a percentage point sounds small, but compounding over several years and layered on whatever baseline inflation exists, it's not trivial for monetary policy.
The fuel price story is one of the more counterintuitive economic situations we've covered in recent months. Crude oil prices are falling, partly because OPEC production decisions, partly because demand concerns in China, but pump prices are rising because the refining sector is operating at record stress levels. Refineries are running at extremely high utilization rates, a refining crunch, which means the margin between crude and refined products has expanded significantly. So consumers are paying more, even as the underlying commodity gets cheaper. This is the kind of disconnect that makes inflation politically toxic because it's visible and immediate, even when the economic explanation is somewhat technical.
Trump-backed Freedom fuel stations raise a different kind of economic concern. The opaque ownership structure and pricing questions the reporting raises connect to broader conflict of interest patterns we're seeing in Trump's financial disclosure, which shows he holds millions of dollars in Micron stock at the same time that Micron made a $250 million commitment to the administration. The legal framework around presidential financial conflicts is deliberately limited. Presidents are exempt from most conflict of interest statutes. But the political optics of holding stock in companies making large pledges to your administration while simultaneously making semiconductor policy are significant.
German automakers reporting greater than 30% sales declines in China for the second quarter is a story with deep structural implications. VW, BMW, and Mercedes have spent decades building China into their largest single market, and they're now losing ground to domestic Chinese electric vehicle manufacturers at a pace that outstrips their ability to respond with competing products. The challenge isn't just product, it's brand positioning, dealer networks, and the reality that Chinese consumers who grew up preferring German engineering are increasingly choosing domestic alternatives as Chinese EV quality has improved dramatically.
The Amazon layoff story is worth sitting with for a moment. 30,000 corporate roles were eliminated, and months later, many of those workers are still unemployed and reporting burnout from extended job searches. This matters beyond the individual stories, because it's a real-time indicator of the white-collar tech labor market. If Amazon engineers and product managers, people with elite credentials from one of the world's most recognized employers, are struggling to find work for months, it tells you something significant about the supply-demand imbalance in tech hiring. Either AI is already reducing demand for these roles, or the broader tech hiring cycle is still contracting, or both.
The Airbnb crackdown spreading from California to Ohio reflects a local government response to a problem that federal and state policy has been slow to address. Cities are implementing bans, permit requirements, and density caps because they've concluded that short-term rental platforms are contributing to housing shortages and neighborhood disruption in ways that are politically unsustainable at the municipal level. For Airbnb and similar platforms, this is an existential regulatory challenge that's happening city by city rather than through a single federal framework, which makes it both harder to fight and harder to negotiate a single compromise solution.